Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life on Forever Family Foundation Radio. Actually,
caught you off guard, did we, Bob?
This is The Gathering. As you know, we pick a topic every first Thursday of the month, which this is, and our topic tonight is the nature of time, what time has to do with it. I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and welcome, everyone.
Hi, Bob. Welcome back to you.
And before we get started on our stimulating conversation, one in which everybody out there is welcome to join in. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we're going to start off with some important foundation announcements.
They're all important. So real quickly, reminder that you can support the foundation without sending us a check, although if you want to send a check, we'll be happy to cash it, deposit it, and use it. You can go on our site and apply for the Visa credit card, and we will get a donation from Visa when you do that. And every time you use it, they'll send us an additional donation based on your spending. And while you're spending with that Visa card or any of your other cards, you can go to iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation, as your charity of choice, and shop in their online stores, which include all of the wonderful stores you're accustomed to shopping at, like L.L. Bean and Sears, and the list is huge. There's 900-plus stores on their site. A portion of your spending will be donated back to us without you spending any additional money. And again, you could do that on Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and everything you buy at Amazon, a portion of that spending will be donated back to the foundation. So think of us when you go shopping, and let us know that you have remembered us in your shopping carts. Okay, if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you can call the office at 631-425-7707. Dessert and Discarnets with certified medium Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero and only 12 seats at this very exclusive fundraiser on August 10th, 2012 is filled. Thank you, Rebecca Ann. And anybody looking for the next Dessert and Discarnets is presently set for January of 2013. The medium will be Angelina Diana. If you'd like to be on that waiting list, you can send us an email at events@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. How to Listen When Your Children Speak is an afternoon workshop for parents who have lost children. It's from 2 to 6 p.m. in Bethel, Connecticut, with certified medium Angelina Diana. She will open to bring through only 10 children in spirit. The afternoon will include evidence of an afterlife from a parent's perspective and a refreshment break with conversation from other parents who have walked in those same shoes. There are only 4 spots left at this event. Our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona, at the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel, with free shuttle service to and from the airport, as well as to local attractions. And this conference will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. Make your reservations now. The weekend will begin with our annual Friday night fundraiser on November 9th, featuring Long Island medium Teresa Caputo, and will continue through November 10th and 11th with a select group of scientists answering your deepest questions about the reality of the spirit world. The weekend also features certified mediums Dave Campbell and Deborah Martin joining our esteemed panel of presenters, Dr. Evan Alexander III, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. 12-12-12, don't miss being in the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. 12/12/12 is a medium marathon featuring an evening of four extraordinary mediums, Bobby Allison, Kim Russo, Siri Bernstein, and Laurelyn Jackson. Seats may be reserved via the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or on the events page. We were surprised to see that the tickets are being gobbled up already for this event, so if you are thinking about attending, you might want to secure your seats earlier than you might anticipate is necessary. And that's it for my announcement.
Thank you.
Everybody's getting itchy.
Can you repeat that?
No, absolutely not.
As we mentioned, we're going to be talking about time tonight, and I don't know the official definition of time. A lot of people think that time is relative to your state of mind, right? We all experience time in different ways. I'm sure there are things that you did today, Melissa, that seemed to go zip right by, and sometimes a thing that dragged, and yet the clock keeps ticking, but you might swear that it was less or more than the allotted time. So I would imagine the same is also true, you know, for artists and musicians, Tom, right? I mean, when you're in the middle of a song, I mean, do you sometimes lose track of time, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And like you say, depending on what you're doing, the time goes quicker or slower. And I actually heard somebody a few weeks ago mention that with all that's happening cosmically and with the solar system and the universe, that the time is actually going quicker these days.
Yeah, I think I've read some reports where scientists say that, you know, the cosmologists say that we are speeding up, you know, in the universe. You know, there's not only expansion, but, you know, we're speeding up time. So.
But how does that, what does that mean then with clocks? Their clocks still tick at the same rate.
It means they're not accurate.
Are you sure? Sure. Maybe they're ticking faster and we don't notice
They're not. We're losing, you know, we're either losing or gaining time. I don't know which, but they're saying that as time goes by, our clocks are getting less and less accurate. But, I mean, when I think about time, I'm thinking about sometimes, like if I'm driving somewhere, and that's probably happened to a lot of people, and then all of a sudden I say to myself, how did I just get here? Because I don't remember making this turn or that turn. It's as if it's a Twilight Zone episode, and you just, you know, it's amazing that we're hardwired to be able to multitask like that, and, you know, we're not crashing. But have you had experiences like that where you just don't remember?
Yeah, I always have to think back, like, all right, wait a minute, what just happened?
But aren't we making the assumption that you actually did drive all there and make all those turns? What if you didn't?
Like teleportation?
Teleportation. Or, you know, okay, somebody says, okay, this doesn't belong. We don't have enough time for you to drive from this point to that point, so let's just zap you over there.
Yeah. Car and all.
And you'll think that you drove there, and you'll have this silly conversation that you're having right now.
Well, we've seen movies and where, I think, wasn't there one recently where somebody invented something to stop time? So they would stop and the whole world would freeze, and then, of course, they would go around and rob banks and do whatever they do with an echo effect. So,
Twilight Zone.
There was a TV show on last year or the year before, Flash Forward.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch it, but I remember that was on. Yeah, it was called Flash Forward.
Where that had to do with time.
Right. Which also, I mean, how do we sense time? We don't have any of our known physical senses that is designed to measure time. I mean, time is all relative to, I guess we started to keep track of time relative to our lifespan, right? I mean, we know how long approximately we're going to live, and then we make judgments. Well, this is a long time, or this is not a long time based upon, you know, the duration that we perceive. Yeah, I mean, if I knew I was going to live 7 years, 1 year is a long, long, you know, time. But if I'm living 100 years, it's not so long. So
that's true. And life expectancy way back when, in the, you know, pioneer days, wasn't as long, and yet they took those long wagon trips, you know, across the country. And
right.
Oregon Trail, things like that.
Took up a quarter of their lives.
Well, you know, the whole a lot of talk this year about the Mayan and the Mayan calendars is that they had cycles, and that they measured time with, and
right.
they would have a cycle for, say, the crops. They'd have a cycle for the sun and a cycle for the moon, and then they brought all of these cycles together to form their big, long-term calendar. And I guess we do the same thing. I mean, we measure time basically by days, and then put a bunch of them together, and you have your week, which is your work week, and then your very short little weekend.
Right. And then a lot of people, they'll insist that time is just an illusion, you know, and it just exists in this physical dimension. But in other dimensions, such as the afterlife, if you believe the evidence from near-death experiences and channel reports, that there is no such thing as time. So let's talk about that a little bit after we come back from the break. So we're going to take a short break, and we come back, we're going to discuss time in the afterlife. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At L&R Productions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. This is The Gathering. We're talking about the nature of time. And before we went to break, we were discussing the possibility that time exists only in this physical dimension, and it very likely may not exist in the afterlife realm. Now, we know that even here there have been experiments done, these presentiment experiments where people can, they're shown a picture, but they react to the specific type of picture a second or two before they're shown the picture, which shows, you know, that they can sort of transcend time, you know, and remote viewers do the same thing. They can see an object that doesn't appear there physically, but a year later, there is there. So there have been there's been a lot of evidence. Near-death experiencers talk about, you know, the same thing. Even when you think about a life review, right? So everything is compressed. You know, a whole lifetime of experience is compressed in maybe 10 seconds, but it seems to them like a lifetime. So
don't our dreams work the same way? I mean,
yeah.
We doze off for just a couple of seconds, and we wake up and we feel like we've had a whole dream, a whole experience.
Yesterday we were at a 4th of July party and talking to some guys were in the pool, and one came up to greet them. And one was reached out to shake his hand and was about to pull him in. And he caught himself in time. But he said, I thought about my wallet and my cell phone in my pocket. But I said, it was a split second. It was, you were almost in. And they just grabbed your hands. The guy in the pool said, yeah, I thought, well, you've probably got your wallet and your... So, and I said, in that, it's like you're seeing your life flash before your eyes. But it was clearly a flip of time.
Well, certainly
but
people,
he had all those thoughts like, oh no, there goes my business if I go in.
People always say that when they're in an accident. And then, you know, I can remember accidents I've been in where you see it coming and it comes at you in slow motion. You say, oh my gosh, I'm about to get hit. And you have all these thoughts before it happens.
Right. And even, you know, I recall listening to interviews with baseball players that are, you know, in a zone and they're on fire, so to speak, and they ask them, like, what's going on? And they say, well, you know, that they may be throwing it at 95 miles an hour, but I'm seeing it like it's 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they're able to slow it down, you know, and that also is part of the same phenomenon of time.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is extremely relative. I know there's a famous quote from Einstein about time, and I typed it out here because I'll never remember it, but Einstein said, people like us who believe in physics know that the distinction between the past, the present, and the future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. That's a famous quote from Einstein. So, I mean, he recognized the very real possibility that you hear a lot of spiritualists talk about today, that there is no past, present, and future. It's all the same, or it's a continuum. And we hear talk from a lot of the physicists we've talked to on the show that suggest parallel universes. So, you know, what's happening here might very well be happening in real time, so to speak, in another dimension. Do you think that the ancients thought that way too? I mean, any indication that the Mayans or the Incas thought in those terms?
Well, I think in the sense that the psychics of today, how they can say, well, you know, in 3 months you're going to be going on a trip, or you're going to, you know, have a new job, or you're moving, or something like that. Well, how do they know? How do they know that they're seeing something that hasn't happened yet, supposedly,
right,
and yet it only hasn't happened in our present time frame? If what you just said was true, that all the past, present, and future is all just continuous and happening at the same time, we just perceive it at different times, at different moments, that maybe that's part of that. And to answer your question, with the ancients, well, sure, because they were predicting things that were going to happen at another moment.
Yeah. You know, it's just interesting. We had on Russell Targ a couple weeks ago, his theory is, I mean, I always thought about when we have a precognitive experience that somehow our consciousness was catching a glimpse of a future event. So if we had a dream, you know, a precognitive dream, and we see this thing happening, and then it happens, and it unfolds that way. But his theory is that it's the opposite, that it's the future event that causes us to actually go back, you know, and have that dream. The future event causes the so to speak, the real-time dream. We're perceiving it the other way. So that's pretty interesting I don't know. I mean, do you think that it's hard? It's a hard concept.
I can't grasp it.
That it's everything's happening at once, but perhaps it is.
I used to think that in precognition that it was like you were lying afloat in a body of water, and if an event was coming at you like a boat in water, you would feel the wake of a boat before the boat would actually hit you. And I feel that maybe events in time come through that way as well, so that if you're just floating as you were, or not thinking and just letting your sensitivity be open, that you would feel the wake of events before they actually get there, and that's how you have your precognition.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That makes sense also if the event has an energy to itself the same way we do.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense, because I can be blindfolded and somebody can walk into the room and I could sense that somebody's entered the room by the change in the energy.
Yeah.
Not know exactly who it is, but so an event probably has the same thing, has some sort of an energy to it. That,
yeah. And then, of course, the bigger the event, more people get the feel the wake of it. As it would be with a bigger boat, you'd feel the wake. You know, so why things like 9/11 and that sort of thing happen, and people, then you hear accounts of people who kind of knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the anticipation of a party and the energy, but then it's a couple of things going on, because there is the energy of the people. But everybody has this anticipatory or dread.
Yeah, it could be, you know, these significant events like 9/11 and the sinking of the Titanic and all these things are, since there's a huge amount of people involved, that somehow those waves are more significant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly... we hear about it all the time, and then we talk about the, you know, like the Global Consciousness Project, where people all over the world anticipate, a future event, you know, before it happens. So, the nature of time sure is intriguing. What about déjà vu? How does that relate to time? You know, I mean, déjà.
Your brother had an explanation.
Well, my brother, who's a neurologist, say it's actually an oxygen imbalance, that you're seeing it in real time, but because your synapses, for whatever reason, because you're not getting the oxygen to the brain, your synapses aren't quite firing right, and you have that feeling like you saw it before, because you're not registering simultaneously. You're sort of registering a second or two after the fact, and that gives you the feeling like, wow, I've seen that before, but you're seeing it for the first time, but you think you've seen it before.
Right. And I wonder what your brother would say about near-death experiences then. Does he use the same oxygen deprivation kind of theory? Or
I'd have to ask him about that. That's a good question. I would say that he's new to this sort of discussion, although I'd say 10 years ago he would have been of the mind that, you know, none of this is possible.
Right.
And from things through the foundation that we have shared with him, he now is of a full feeling that there's something going on.
Yeah, I mean, you've probably discussed a few things with him, because I would, as a man of science, I could certainly see that you would say that a near-death experience from your scientific training would have to be, you know, a lack of oxygen. But then when you point out things like people, how does a lack of oxygen allow people to leave their bodies, and then describe things at other, you know, remote places.
Right. The discussion about the people who go down the hallway and hear the doctor talking to your loved one or whatever, or a nurse in the hallway about your condition, and then after you've been revived, you recount that conversation. I mean, that, right, the lack of oxygen isn't going to give you that.
Right, but you know, a lot of medical doctors have simply never heard, you know, the evidence. Where would they learn it? You know, I mean, we're into this, but they're not going to learn that in medical school, you know, so they wouldn't be aware, and so that they would have no basis of forming those opinions. You know, I often think, so I believe that it is timeless in these other dimensions, you know, and when we're in the afterlife, so to speak, that there is no time. But yet, we see, you know, from working with mediums and so forth, that they usually reference very time-specific things, right? They'll reference a birthday, they'll reference an anniversary. So, you know, how do you live in a world where there is no time and still be able, it must be very difficult to focus your consciousness, so to speak, to time-related things. I mean, you ever think?
Well, maybe because spirit understands that's still how we operate in the physical world.
Right.
So
it's
just information.
That they can communicate.
Yeah, like a name or anything else.
And their purpose, even though from their perspective a lot of these time events are meaningless, I guess their perspective is that they need to provide evidence that we'll understand in our real...
And I don't recall... specific time frame, like they might say, I see something coming soon, but otherwise it might be a name of a month or a number that you'd say, well, maybe it's, you know, is it the 22nd, you know, when I heard that during a reading, I started counting days from the day of the reading to see if something significant was going to happen in 22 days later.
You want to take a call?
Yeah, we could take a call. We've got Chuck from Tucson on line three. Chuck?
Hi, Bob Fran. This is Chuck. I think you know me through the IONS organization.
Yes, Chuck, how are you, Chuck?
Oh, very good. I'm kind of joining in the middle. I didn't get in until about 20 minutes after your program started, but it's a very interesting topic, and I wasn't sure. I didn't catch the name of your guest either. The observations you were making there about the, I'm recalling the slit experiment in physics where they fire the particle and then make the choice randomly, supposedly, and then get the result, whether it's a wave or a particle in the outcome. Most people are familiar with that experiment. And what it comes to me, you know, like from our discussion of near-death experiences, et cetera, we talk about universal consciousness. The experiencers access universal consciousness. What's often skipped over is the idea is if it's universal, infinite consciousness, it has total awareness without regard to time. If I took the example of classical physics and you strike the cue ball, and if you know the momentum and the angle and all the forces involved, you can predict the outcome. Well, if we have infinite consciousness and it's intelligent, it can predict the outcome of the slit experiment before it's ever made. So it's not random from that perspective. Does that kind of make sense? It's really not going backward in time. It's a known outcome from the expected choice.
So, I mean, if you believe in a universal consciousness that already knows exactly, you know, what the so-called future holds, I mean, isn't the observation which what, you know, collapses the wave to make it appear real to us? I mean, there are infinite possibilities. Even though there's universal consciousness, we still exist in a universe of unlimited, you know, possibilities. So I don't know if there is such a thing of knowing an outcome.
Well, it is in the sense of, I took that classical physics model. If you know all of the ingredients, the variables, you can predict the outcome. So let's take a human situation where we make a choice, infinite intelligence or consciousness, would be aware of all the factors that would influence their decision and would have a very high probability of predicting the outcome. I'd like to give you another example, and I'd recommend a speaker for your program. His name is R. Todd Michael. You was an emergency room doctor for 20 plus years. And in that, he's written a book called The Evolution Angel. And he had an early experience of his own when he was a young man before he went to medical school that convinced him of a spiritual reality. And just to be short about this, I won't give you that experience, but he began communicating with what we could call a spirit guide, or the name isn't important. He called it the evolution angel. And he asked this source, how does the non-physical interact with the physical, which is germane to our question here? And they said, they communicated to him the information that if they needed to, they could manifest as a mosquito that would fly by your ear, and the time it took you, your attention was drawn to that mosquito, would alter the outcome of events such that you would avoid an accident 2 weeks in the future.
Well,
so,
we see a lot of
butterfly.
Yeah, and a lot of anecdotal reports about, you know, people give it the broad classification of signs, but you know, who's to say that they're not physical manifestations from the non-physical universe, which is, you know, what you're suggesting.
Well, what we have this inherent tendency to go to an anthropomorphic viewpoint. We're human. He asked the question again later in the book, The Evolution Angel, and he said, well, they said, you remember the example of the mosquito? Well, let's say example is the cloud in the sky, and it draws your attention, and it changes the outcome of your course of your life from that point forward, because you're enraptured by the cloud or whatever. If it need be, that cloud could be created, manifested as a physical water vapor, you know, aspect in the sky, a reality in the physical sense. Or we could put that image in your mind and you wouldn't have any awareness of a difference. It would be just as real as if it were a physical cloud. So it's this need for us to take the larger perspective. If there's a paradox, this was a message from a near-death experiencer that I just cherish, a kernel. The way to resolve any paradox is to adopt a higher perspective.
We were talking a little bit before about, you know, the life review that some near-death experiences describe, where, you know, a lifetime of experiences seems to be encapsulated into an extremely short period of time. What would you say about that from the near-death experience perspective about the nature of time?
Well, I was a computer technician for 40 years, and the database aspect of that is just mind-blowing to me. I mean, how you store all that information and then pull it back, and, you know, what's the retrieval mechanism? You know, I don't have an answer for that, but I know that enough people talk about it that it's got to be real because of the anecdotal evidence, the veridical after effect, that they get information they can validate later. I mean, the experiencer Tom Sawyer was a prime example of that, where he learned the identity of a man he had an encounter with when he was a teenager in his near-death experience at the age of 30. I mean, the level of detail. Another incident, he was mowing the yard, and he said he could have counted the bugs in the yard, you know, while he's 10 years old and he's mowing the grass at one point. I mean, that kind of detail. That's what I say. And if we look at this higher perspective, the infinite amount of intelligence and awareness is there. The experiencers go and they tap into it and they say, oh, how could I have forgotten? Because the purpose of this experience here is ignorance. Without ignorance, there's no discovery. If you always knew what was around the corner, why bother? So it's like this: the system is designed just to be the way it is, for us to be constantly clawing at the edge of knowledge and trying to figure things out. That's the only way we can have this experience, is because we have unknowns.
Well, I certainly like that that quote, ignorance without ignorance, there'd be no discovery. That, can I use that?
Sure. And I believe you've had Robert Schwartz on your program. And doesn't he talk about how lives are planned in advance?
Yeah. A lot of several people that we've had on the show that talk about lives between lives and soul planning, talk about that concept.
Well, and so with the butterfly effect, we can be placed in the, and I've had an experience like this myself, where elements brought me to a place, and then afterwards I can look back and say, oh, well, that wasn't just coincidence. You know, it was meant to be. And so it's a marvelous experience, this thing called life. It's a stage, and there's a lot more going on around us than we usually give consciousness to.
You know, in talking about the mosquito analogy, there is an element of will that comes in on that, because as the anecdote says, the non-physical decides to come by your ear in the form of a mosquito to adjust your pathway so that something won't happen later on, but that's an act of will on the part of the discarnate. And then, of course, you've got the will of the people around you and other discarnates that have to be figured into that as well. Once you start down that road of willfully changing things, anybody or anything can willfully change.
Don't forget about the will of the mosquito.
Exactly. There is a hungry mosquito can bite you and change it totally another way.
That reminds me of the experiencer named Karen Schaefer from, she talked at our Virginia Beach group. In her near-death experience, she was supposed to, that was her exit point. She was not supposed to come back. But she resisted, saying she wanted to come back to raise, she had an infant or a toddler at that point. But that wasn't to be her life plan. And she actually had a negotiation where she was very vociferous about wanting to come back to raise the child. But she wasn't supposed to. And there were supposed to be things the child would learn, the husband would learn, the to-be stepmother would learn, and they actually went through a process she describes while she's in her experience, where they had to get together all the guides and whoever the, spiritual forces were to replan how these other life lessons could be implemented if she were to go back. And of course, she did come back. Now, she did come back with the awareness that she would have another exit point in the future, and it would be an accident. But mercifully, she doesn't know when.
Right. Well, Chuck, thanks for calling. We're up against a break here, but I appreciate your thoughts and your insights, and nice hearing from you.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Good luck on the conference in November, and remember ours.
Okay. Take care. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the nature of time. So stay with us. Be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I'm Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We are talking about the nature of time. You know, it's an interesting subject to a lot of people that have lost loved ones, because what do you say, you know, when somebody passes, a lot of times you'll say things like, oh, if only I could go back in time. You know, maybe to go back in time to prevent something from happening, or maybe to go back in time to say other things, you know, to your loved one that you didn't get a chance to say. But we all want to be able to turn the clock back, you know, and then it's possible. I mean, it may be more than science fiction, you know, about time travel. I mean, we've certainly had some guests on the show, physicists, that say it's theoretically possible. We've had, I know, at least one physicist who said if he had enough money, he could do it now, you know. So I don't know, but I mean, what's the thoughts here? Do you think that we'll ever see a way of actually going back in time?
Well, I was more interested when you said that about the loss of a loved one and going back in time to change something. If you've come to the point where you accept the death, you want to speed up time to get past the grief. Like, when am I going to stop hurting so much?
That's true.
So yeah. I think, you know, people would want to do both. They'd want to either go back. Of course, then you have to, if you get to go back, then you've got to go forward again
and do it all again.
Yeah. So if you could fast forward and, you know, skip a lot of the heartache, which isn't healthy, I'm sure, but it might be.
Yeah, it's a good point, you know, because a lot of people will say, and it's usually the wrong advice, you know, when they say, well, you know, time heals all, you know,
yeah.
You know, you'll just you'll get better, you'll get better, and which may or may not be true, but it's not what you want to hear, you know, at the time. But you're right, because I know that a lot of people that are in terrible grief, you know, just they want to speed it up. If I can just get past this point.
You want to get through each day.
Yeah.
Let me get through this day. You do that with a lot of things. Let me get through this minute. People giving up smoking or dieters.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Yeah. So I know with Tom's mom, it was maybe five. We didn't talk. You know, her grief was quite evident. But maybe 5 years into it, we took her to a grief session with Robert Hansen, and she said, you know, I really don't feel I'm grieving anymore. And, you know, we never discussed when did your grief end, but it was nice that she was acknowledging that her grief was behind her.
But if you're talking about getting into a time machine and going forward so that you go past your grief session, would that really work? Because the only thing that would change would be the date on the calendar. And okay, now it's July, and I've transported myself to December.
Yeah.
But
but
in my term, it only took five minutes, and I'd still be hurting.
Right. I didn't have all those experiences between that helped me to learn where to put the grief.
Right.
Oh, it's kind
right.
of like a Rip Van Winkle effect.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and talking about that sort of thing and time travel, as it were, you know, they talk about space travel. When you go into space and some, I guess they've studied in some of these astronauts, but they talk about if you were to go on a manned flight to Jupiter and come back, you would still be looking like you're in your 20s when all your family would be 30, 40 years down the road. That time does change.
Right. Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, there you go.
Charlton Heston. They were away for like 18 months, but look what happened when they came back. You know, the evolution happened. You know, so it's true. You know, so it's more than science fiction. But talking about, as you mentioned, Tom, like a time machine, if we had this machine and I gave you the choice and you had your choice of going back or forward, let's say 100 years in the past or 100 years forward, which would you choose? I mean, going, there's points for both, right? Going in the... Yeah.
Personally, I'd go forward. I mean, the past...
You already know what happened.
I mean, it might be fun, like those Star Trek episodes where they go back to the 20s and, you know, and Kirk gets to put on a fedora and act tough. But, you know,
right. But what if you went back and then, of course, you knew when the dot-com boom was going to happen?
Yeah.
So, but then, could you really use the information that way? Would it really work? You know,
like in that movie about Vicky Sue Got Married, and they talked about pantyhose or something. You know.
You know, and that's. Well, then you get into the whole discussion. I mean, if you talk to any medium, and everybody, one of the first questions are the skeptics or the people who are new to it, and they see a medium and they say, well, why don't you just predict what the horse races are going to be and that sort of thing? And it just, you know, they say, well, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And
so, you know, we get into these philosophical discussions of time, and it has something to do with consciousness. So if an object doesn't have a mind, is there such a thing as time? I mean, do you need a mind to perceive time?
Mm.
You know? Or what if nothing happened? If there's absolutely nothing happening, is there time?
I still can't wrap my mind around
this. Yeah, well, it's an extension of the tree falling in the woods.
Right.
You need to have something to perceive it for it to be.
The sound or the action?
Well,
the
action happens.
You're
saying whether there's sound or not, and there are sound waves. But if there's not an eardrum to capture the wave and say, oh, it's a, you know, then there's no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we talk about the afterlife so much and how we have these constraints on us in the physical world, which we don't have, you know, in the afterlife. So that must be quite an experience when you wake up in this timelessness, you know, and time doesn't matter. It's a whole new whole new concept. You can see why people need time to get adapted to it, right?
Yeah.
That's right back to our testimony of light, and she needed that time to process that. I need that time to process. That's an interesting thought, too, because sometimes when I get home from work, and I know I have a lot of other stuff to do, but I can't just leap into it. I have to go, like, maybe lay down, even if it's for a couple of minutes, to process the orderly.
Well, now you got to change your vernacular here, because when you say, I'm going over to the other side where there's no time, but I need time to adjust to it, well, what exactly are you needing to adjust? I mean, obviously, it's an understanding, it's a learning. You need to learn not to think in those terms.
Learning or experiencing it versus...
But it does make sense, because the energy is eternal. So once you're in a position where you are not going to be in pain and you're not going to be... And who knows? I mean, who knows if you're not... There's another kind of death that brings you to a different plane altogether. But, you know, what we concern ourselves and why time is so important here is because at the end of all of our time is that death portal that we're all going to go through, and that we don't necessarily want to, you know, it's Woody Allen say, I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Right. Well, you know, the channel reports in the afterlife talk about, you know, like traveling to places, you know, takes no time. You know, it's just, you think of it, and, you know, and you're there. Although you can have these sensory experiences and you can somehow make or will it to last, you know, you could make it seem like an eon, you know, but if you wanted to, or not, you know, so that must be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, things that happen. And there are people here that say, well, I know how you can make, you can transcend time, and they'll talk about meditation. Again, it'll, you know, a lot of people
see that.
Yeah.
Well, we get to do the instant transporting to a small degree, thinking about Tom's dad in spirit saying, see those jet skis out there? That looks like fun. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm on one right now. And it's, you know, the thoughts you think about it. So if you thought about an experience, say you had, one of us had gone jet skiing or out on a boat, we had a great time, and we sit here and we start thinking, oh yeah, the other day, wasn't that so nice? And you're thinking about it, and you're brought right back to that
and
event.
You're instantly there, and I think that's what the...
And then you snap out of it like, oh wow, I really got lost in thought.
The spirit is all about it, and I was thinking about that exact same thing from some of the messages we've got from my dad, and was that one that where you can imagine he's just sort of leisurely riding on the back of a jet ski in what we would call real time. But I also, in another reading where he said that, you know, everything here happens like a jet plane. You know, everything happens instantly. Everything is you know, supersonic and is fast. It goes very fast. So, you know, it's...
That's a time thing again.
Yeah. Well, I took that to mean that, you know, I can be here with you guys, or in an instant, I can be on the other side of the galaxy watching something happen over there that you won't believe what you can see over past Pluto, you know.
Or both of them at the same time.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, the Seth book talks about that it's all happening instantaneously.
Still over my head.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It all comes down to whether we think that we're ticking time clocks or not. You know, how we perceive time, and I guess along with that, it's linear time. So there's everything goes from the past to the present to the future. You know, and that's the way it is. We have a certain allotted time, you know, on Earth, and but then there are some people that believe that it's circular time. So it's death, and there's life, and there's death, and there's life, and there's, you know, and so then what's past, present, and future? It's all intermingled, and I think we touched on before, I mean, I guess one of the best ways we can transcend time, again, is our dreams. That certainly is something that we all do on a regular basis, and maybe we would design that way.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's time to wrap up. You've got some closing announcements.
Well, not announcements, but some closing things.
Right.
Comments for us. We're going to now ask our listeners to join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Stanley Ewan, Julie B., Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Glenna Irwin, Doreen Malloy, Barbara Petillo, Pat Longo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, CJ, Lynn LeClaire, Joanne Gerber, Eileen LaFada, Mark Barron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Nancy Scheel, and Isabel Ginsberg. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's water, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masura Umota back on May 9th, 2010, and certainly deserves to be said every day. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.